The scripture I'd like to read is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to read 11 through 25. 11 through 25. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us.
Good morning and thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that too. Archie failed to mention that I speak a little bit of English as well. I'm neither complaining nor boasting, but I grew up in a very poor home in New Lexington, Ohio, down in New Lexington, Perry County, south of Newark. And I'm just looking to see if anybody giggled at that one. When I was a kid, it was Newark, Ohio. And I guess they made some T-shirts up there. Brother, I appreciated your comments, though we haven't met yet. Your comments, I think you were saying something about a video game. You said, is that right? In the Bible study. So I wanted to tag on to that comment. What I want to bring to you this morning, sisters, brothers, and friends. Oh, yes, thank you. I'm not used to being mic'd up as a former school teacher. And you were kind about that. Either that or he was waving. Can you hear me a little better now? Now we'll really find out if you reject the word. That was meant to sting a little bit if it fits. Okay. What I have here this morning, had not planned to say this, but it's not a cheat code. It is the code. It's God's code in the Bible. This is an excellent scripture full of, if I've counted right, 19 imperatives or commands of actions. And so I would like for you to consider those things which we might do in order to level up our Christian walk. Okay? Am I really? And I'm going to go ahead to the end of the story, the lesson. Are you really? So this fits for me as well as for you all. Had a sister come to me years ago and said, I'm doing everything I can. If you cannot make one meeting for worship or Bible study in a month, you're not doing everything you can for the Lord. Now, I didn't come to batter or bash anybody, but are you really? If you never remember those three little words, please and thank you, are you really doing all you can do? Appreciate speaking with you, brother, Brother Messer, Jennings, did I get it right? And with Gary Bailey, not Bill Bailey, Gary Bailey. And a few of you that I have met this morning, Arthur. See, I'm just practicing. While I have a memory left, I'm practicing that a little bit. And his wife, Phyllis Beck. And to all of you, I'm going to give you an aside that's not in my lesson either. In Zanesville, unlike where I grew up in New Lexington, there are city wildlife. And it isn't that they don't know any better. They really have an uppity attitude and really don't care where people live. We had a little skunk invasion in the yard, and I couldn't sleep well because that was full in my head. But I promise you, if you get close, I don't think you'll notice. But I've got a little bit of congestion. I apologize. Let me dig in now. This is not a cheat code, but it is a list if you look at it that way. If you like to make a list, this is an easy one to make. Child's play. You ever make a to-do list? 19 things in these scriptures of things to do. In English or in a language, the word imperative is something you must do it. It is imperative that you do this. You gotta. You need to. You have to do that. That's an imperative. It's like a command, but it's also like a recipe for success. And so I would like you to consider that these things are given in the imperative, and when we look at Bible authority, not this morning's lesson, but when we look at authority and we consider direct command, there's that first one already. Approved example and necessary inference. So a direct command we ought to follow. Why don't you do it then? Now, I raise my hand as well. I fall short of these as well. I need to keep pressing on toward that goal as well. So I am not saying that I'm holier than thou, but I'm saying, brothers and sisters and friends, get in there, dig in, hustle a little bit, and try or wait. Don't try, do. And then you can say, I did this or I didn't do this. If children, and I've done some substitute teaching in this past school year, in substitute teaching, if fourth graders can understand these things, surely y'all can. It's not over our heads. So let's take a look at these things. What kinds of things can we glean or pick out of that a little bit? Do you know that painting, The Gleaners? And there are these women who are dressed in long, and I think one of them is bent over in the field. It looked like a wheat field that's been harvested. And she's got a hand, I believe, behind her back, or her lower back. She's bent over, picking up or gleaning, picking the grain or what's left over after the haul has been taken in. Do you ever consider some Bible verses to be that way? I don't mean to pick it apart and be nitpicking, but I do mean, can you pick some of these things out? If you're taking notes, I encourage you to jot down the action words, which are verbs or commands. So here we go. Hold on to the edge of your seats. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 through 17. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Encourage. Build up. I'm doing everything I can. Can't do no more. I know that ain't good English. I can't do anything else. Really? You can't say, good job. You know, one of the greatest things, as several of you have already done this, as a school teacher, as a teacher and preacher in the Lord's church, and you don't have to feel obliged to do this, but if you look and you smile and you nod, you might as well be saying amen, because I know you heard it, you understood it, and you're agreeing with it. Not because I said it. This isn't the gospel according to Mark. And it wasn't Mark's gospel anyway. It was Christ's gospel. It's the good news of Christ. So something as simple as smiling or noticing when someone says something, is it in God's word, yes or no? If it is, you better be doing it. And I'm going to make reference, as I said to Archie just last night by phone, I'm going to make reference, as I often do, to Tom Black, something he preached in Bitburg, Germany, in the Gemeinde Christi, which is almost like saying, a Gemeinde is like saying the community or the gathering, the congregation of Christ. The church is his body. So here is something Tom said that had a huge impact on me. He was kind of mild-spoken. How will you know whether or not I am telling you the truth? You won't know unless you study it, unless you read it for yourself. Gary got a little ahead of that. Thank you. You're listening, following along. So I encourage you to follow along and ask yourselves, is it in the scriptures? Yes or no? If it is, be doing it. So are you encouraging and building up other people? Can you do a pinch better? I can. I'm not immune to the lesson. I need the lesson as much as anybody. I want to be the best example I can be. He who wishes to be first must be last. I want to make sure that when the gate closes, I'm on the inside of that gate. I heard Hubert Showalter say one time, after leading the song, I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop, he said, I'd be satisfied with a shack on the back 40. So I just want to be on the inside of the gate. I've got a place to sit in the corner. I want to be inside the room. Okay? Look at the next one. Picks up speed as time goes on. We request of you, brethren. So, appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Appreciate them. That is a command. One time there used to be, I think, a bumper sticker that said, God says it, that doesn't. I'm sorry. God says it, I believe it, and that does it. The truth of the matter is, God says it, that does it whether I believe it or not. Thy word is truth. We are to be sanctified in his truth. God's word is truth. Appreciate those who labor among you. We don't all have the same role, and we don't all have the same thing that we do or are capable of doing, but verse 13, esteem them very highly in love, live in peace. Esteem them highly, live in peace. Two more. If you're counting so far, we've got five. One of them is doubled. I challenge you to see which one's doubled, because I would say it is one of the top four problems in the Lord's church. If you have very little patience, I'll skip ahead and say, encourage. Encouraging people. Brother Allen almost stole my lesson points here this morning, but he got a little close. If we're preaching and teaching the truth, we're going to cover some of the same material. But encourage is mentioned twice. Edification or building up is very similar to that. Can you say, job well done, thank you. Please, would you do this? Thank you, brother. That is not difficult. Isn't it, or it, shouldn't it be easy to be good or kind to those who are kind to us? If we can't be kind to members of the Lord's church, how are we going to be kind to those who are lost, who are our enemies? So, are you esteeming those who labor among you, highly in love and living in peace? Verse 14, admonish. That means to caution. Watch out. Look out over there. Be careful. There's a pitfall there. Don't go there. I've been there, tried it, does not work. Sometimes my students encourage and be patient. There are three in that one. Sometimes my students say, Mr. Householder, could we have this video? I like watching movies, especially in history class, as a way to get through a lot of material or give a visual. But I would ask, does that have any foul language in it? They wouldn't need to answer because if they started smiling or giggling, I knew the answer and I said, we're not going to do that up in here. We've already heard it before, they'll say. And I said, so have I. I used to have a 7-word vocabulary. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Am I bragging? No, I'm ashamed of that. So here's what I would say. And I realized, brother, if they kicked me out of school, they did for good reason. I said, been there, done that, repented of it, and I'm trying to be a better man now. Now, if they want to fire me, that was in public school. I never had a problem with someone. Can we possibly tell people, I'm trying to be a better man or woman. I'm trying to be a better example. I'm not saying I've never done these things. I've never done those things, but I've done too much of those things. I'm trying to be a better man now. Encourage, help the weak, and be patient. Verse 5, do not repay evil for evil. Seek after that which is good. That's kind of a two for again. It's almost two sides of the same coin. Do you ever repay evil for evil? That's the way I was raised, not in a Christian home. You don't do unto others and split. But if they do to you, you do it back. Don't start any fights, son. But if they start it, you finish it. Hey, Daddy, where's that? He didn't have a book, chapter, and verse for it. We might have found something akin to that back in the Old Testament, but we are to pray for those who spite us, smite us. We're to bless those that curse us. That's a hard one, but I've got one. Can you say, Lord, bless those who bless me. Bless those who are around me that I'm working with. And bless those too that curse me, Lord. Didn't even take 30 seconds. You can do it. Go and do likewise. That's the way I was raised. That's not God's way. I love and miss my dad. But even he realized later that was not the way to go. You can't tilt at every windmill. It's especially free. You can't be Don Quixote and tilt at every windmill because they aren't big giants and warriors to begin with. Don't make problems where there are none. But maybe, just maybe, we can solve a problem here and walk away from a problem there. And in both, God sees. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verses 16 and 17. Verses 18 through 22. Give thanks in everything. Well, that's hard. Really? Thank you. Thank you for being here. Not for me. Thanks for being here for everyone. If you encourage everyone, one another, I likely will not know that. I won't see that. God sees. Please do it for the building up of the church. Would you starve your child till he or she became weak? Would you starve your child and not give him or her what was needed until he or she was too weak? Why would you do it to your husband? Why would you do it to your wife? Why would you do it to your brother or sister? If you can't love the ones who love you, how are you going to do the Lord's command and bless those who curse you or love those who hate you? And again, it ain't easy, but it's simple. So what can you do? I said to some brothers, I said, I've got three, and this is especially for the younger ones, but it's for any age. You ready for this? I'll bet you young fellows and ladies understand this. When you are confronted with someone being conflagrational, you'll never hear that word in a sermon ever again. They're conflagration, warlike, they're being belligerent, they're up in your grill. What do I do? Yeah, I know, because I've been around kids all the time. I even had to tell a student this year, I said, you best get up out my grill. He was right. He made a beeline across the, I didn't plan to tell you this, but he just came and the head tilted down like this. And the eyes were steady and just staring. And I mean, he was stomping straight across the gym and got this close to me. And I said, you best get up out my grill. If you had done that where I grew up, even in a small town, when I grew up, not now. See, now I had to... I'll get to that in a second. And he laughed and giggled, where'd you grow up? And I said, step back. You don't walk up on a man that you do not know. Really. That's just being streetwise. Okay. So when people are pressing up on you verbally, abusively, there are three things that we can do. Think of three W's. You can have words, and I don't mean foul ones. You can have war. We are not to fight. You can walk away. So try to choose, if it is a war, let's make it a Christian one, a Christian vow. But we can deal with things in such a way that we leave the other person sometimes with a better understanding, not only of who we are, but maybe one day they will be. Give thanks in everything, verse 18. So did you young folks understand that? That you can speak to the person. Or you can walk away. Those are the two bookends of that. My dad's way was don't have any words and don't walk, but, you know, the gloves are off. Okay. You find out there are some giants out there that you can't fight every fight. And it's better to use words. A kind word, fitly spoken, can turn away wrath. Do not quench the spirit. I realize this is the capital S, but can you imagine deadening somebody's spirit by being so demoralizing, so defeating, so down-putting of somebody else? Have you ever done it? Have you ever had it done to you? Sometimes a word. I don't believe any longer that old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, they can. They can send a man or a woman to jail. They can slander. The Bible speaks against evil speech. We're going to have to give a word of an account for the things that we say. So, my point is, let us be mindful. I don't mean kid gloves. Middle schoolers understood when I said, don't be snowflakes. Don't melt under the slightest pressure. They giggle, they laugh. Seventh graders, I'm sure you can understand that. We have to deal with pressure, sure. I get that. Can we say a good word, a kind word, an encouraging word instead of discouragement, disparagement, denigration, defeat? Don't quench the lowercase s either, the spirit of a person. Do not despise prophetic utterances. I'm not saying we have modern day prophets, but I am saying that. But I am saying we have prophetic utterances in the Lord's word. His word is truth. Before it happened, it was prophecy. After it happened, it was fulfilled prophecy in history. Don't despise the word of God. Don't do it. I did too. Such were some of you, but you were washed. Such was I. But I was washed. One of the most comforting things in the Bible, there's no longer Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond nor free. We are all made one in Christ Jesus. I baptized a brother, and before I immersed him in water for the remission of his sins into Christ Jesus, into his death, he said, hold me down extra long. I've got a lot of sins to remit. We understood each other very well because we were both from very humble beginnings. Hard knocks. Afterwards I said, and I'm not saying this to brag, but can you see the difference in scorn and success and building up? I said, when I gave him a hug later, I said, you are my equal brother in Christ. If anyone was lesser, wouldn't it have been me? If I had even one sin, his were washed away. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. Such were some of you and I, but we were washed. Don't go back to the hog bar. There was a place down the street. It was a Harley clubhouse down our road, country road, where we used to live. It was called the Hog Waller. Don't go wallowing in the mire again once you get cleaned up. And if you do, clean up right quick. Clean up quickly. Okay? Examine everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Eschew what is evil. Cling to that which is good. That's King James English. Eschew. What? Think and chew it up and spit it out. Spurn. Push away. Get rid of those things that are evil. And cling to those things which are good. And there's another, there are several good lists in the Bible, if you like making lists, I do. And there's one that says, I like to summarize it this way, that we are to hold fast, we cling to that which is good. Whatsoever things are, think on these things. Abstain to from every form of evil. Abstain. Hold yourself away from. Keep away from. Ab, away. And tenir actually comes from a French word. Sorry. No, sorry. Abstenir. To tenir is to seize, grab, or to hold. And so hold yourself apart from that, sister, brother. And the final verses. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for me if you run out of things to pray for. Pray for each other. Esteem those people highly who bring you God's word. And brothers, when you're teaching and preaching, you've got a special place and a special role. Do the level best you can, and then try to level up. Can you do any one of these things better than you're currently doing it? Then life becomes a process of trying to make that better. Work out your own salvation. Why did I become a Christian years ago? I realized I was a sinner. I realized that made me like the rest of the world who had reached accountability, who were able to get that. I did not like that lost self. Drinking and stinking, we used to call it. Realized there had to be something better and a better way. And despite my longer hair down on my shoulders, and so on, 3-day beard and tattered clothes and so on, bare feet, the first time I walked into taekwondo practice, I came in after practice. Can I join you, Bible study? They said, sure, come in. I was in my uniform. I was sweaty and dirty, barefooted. I think I had a Coca-Cola in my hand. I walked in. I don't have a Bible. They said, we have one. Every one of them did. Members, that was my first Bible study with members of the Lord's Church. What if they kicked me out because I don't think I smelled bad, but I was a frightful sight. What if they had pushed me away? But they remembered where they had come from as well. Two things, and I'll leave the message then with you. I hope I haven't overstepped or overstayed my welcome. If you have heard nothing else, please hear these things. One, this is a wonderful, brilliant, genius list of things we can do to be better and to make those around us better. Two, and three, two verses that hit me really hard in that very first Bible study, and one was, not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter. That's in the Bible. What is that? And they were able to show me. If you don't think that's a wake-up call, maybe some of you grew up in a denomination, another religion, and you realize that there are people who know that the Lord is Lord, but are not saved. I didn't question it. It was in God's word. And the third part of that was to enter by the narrow gate, the many and the few. I don't say I thank my God that I'm not like that sinner over there. I don't know you. Are you a brother in Christ? I don't know you, brother. So I'm just picking it, like I used to do in the classroom. Good picking. I'm glad I'm not like that sinner over there. If he can smile, y'all can too. I am glad that I'm not the sinner I used to be. And I realize I still slip up. I still fall off the bicycle. Tour de France, the Tour de France. The Tour de France concluded today. 3 weeks in July, if you need a reminder. I was proud of an American, Sepp Kuss. Twice he was in the lead. Twice he fell. And he got back up and rode. You're going to fall off that bike sometimes. So if you are a Christian and you have slipped and fallen, skinned yourself up silly, get back up ASAP and ride on. You may not win the day, but you're gaining. Do I have 2 minutes longer? May I? There were people in what is now called this is also not my sermon is over and I'm concluding, but I want to leave you with this thought. I was taught to pray Jesus into my heart. Not by members of the Lord's church. Crew. Used to be called Campus Crusades for Christ. Very much they believe that you pray the sinner's prayer. Pray Jesus into your heart. Once saved, always saved. That the soul can never die again. There are people still teaching and preaching that falsehood. How do I know? Was the prodigal son a son to his father? Yes or no? Father and son. Was he in the family? Yes. Did he leave? Yes. Whose choice was it? It was the son's choice. They love to tell that it is true. I will never leave or forsake you. The father never did leave. The son left. That's not hard to understand. I get a little choked up realizing how close. Now pray, you don't have to do anything, now pray with me. Have you heard that on TV? Franklin Graham or others? Now pray with me. Well, I thought you said I didn't need to do anything. They did that with me. And I thought, wait a minute. Where is that? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter replied, you already done. You already believed, you were pricked in your heart, you're finished, you're good, get out of here. Or did Peter say instead, I'm saying this on purpose, don't nod your head quite yet. Did Peter say, pray Jesus into your heart now with me. He also did say, now you nod your head this way. Did he say, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God there was someone who didn't shrink like a shrinking violet as soon as a little pressure was put on me. And it happened to be a sister in Christ because there were no brothers there. And she was extremely respectful and humble. She allowed those men to speak. She never took a tone or a bad mouth, bad word above them. And I'm not saying that they teach and preach, but I am saying our sister in that little Bible study at Miami of Ohio, when we walked away, I said, but don't I need to be baptized? They said, that's not what that means. Let me say that again. Don't I need to be baptized? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. That's not what that means, those two men told me. We walked away, and our sister, her name was Mary Kay Seymour. She said, Mark, that's exactly what it means. I never went back. Thank God that someone saw a value in my soul. Can you do the same? I encourage you to do so. Do you have need of becoming a Christian today? Realize that you're lost in sin. Just like I was, just like we were, but then we were washed. The water doesn't wash your skin, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience unto God. 1 Peter. Peter should know. He preached it at Pentecost. He said it again in his epistle. Baptism doth also save you. The like figure whereunto. And so, you need to die with Christ if you want to live again. Are all of you alive right now? Then in order to live again, in between living and living again, you got to die in between there. And that's exactly what Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27 say. They are the only verses that say into Christ Jesus. Are you aware of that? Into Christ Jesus. If you're out of Christ, you need to get into Christ. And the only verb that comes before those is baptized into Christ Jesus. We are teaching and preaching nothing more than that here. Thank you for the extra time that you afforded me, gave me this morning. You can do this. Which of the twain, Jesus asked, I suppose the one he forgave the most. Go and do likewise. We can show people a little grace, a little kindness, encouragement. That's the big one. Thank you so very much for allowing me to speak. And if I went over again, I apologize. School teacher, so I'm used to 45 to 50 minutes. So I did, that was about a 55 minute lesson that I squeezed into shorter. So I did snip and cut. Do you have a need to put on Christ or to return while we stand and sing? Brother, thank you.